Good morning, everyone. Hope everybody's having a good morning. Today we are back on Paul's journey, and he'll be heading to Berea today. As we will note from his last episode, that he had to leave. Where were we yesterday? Thessalonica? Yep, Thessalonica. And kind of a little bit of a haste. But let's start with a word of prayer. Oh, let me get a little. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much for this time we get to spend looking into your word. Help me, Father, to relay your word as you would to understand it. It may help someone today. I know it's been helping me a lot to understand your mission after your death on the cross and going forward. And Lord, may also keep in mind today those who are from events. And that you keep us as a church, remembering each other in love and compassion. And that as we look forward to who you have in store for us, that we can see your vision for our church going forward. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So today we are back in Acts, start with verse 10. And let me get a version up here I can read. There we go. Then, so we are in 1710, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So, we left Thessalonica, and just as a note, Berea is about 60 miles from Thessalonica. It's always interesting to me that. Paul did quite a bit of walking and traveling in his journeys. Wonder if we would even have the kind of energy he did back then. But he doesn't stay a long time in one place, it seems like, as we'll see today. That seems to have a lot of trouble with some of the Jews who just don't want to give up on the old traditions of Moses and look to the new dispensation of Jesus Christ. So here we are here, as usual, when he got to Berea, he went into the synagogue of the Jews, and he always started there, as we noted in the past, that he always wanted to bring his word to the to his Jewish kinsfolk first, because at least they knew about the Septuagint at this time. That was a typical rendering of the Bible they had. It was written, it was translated into Greek, the Hebrew, about 300 years before the current time. And it was the version of the Bible that that Jesus had. And it's mostly the Old Testament, but it's a version known as the Septuagint. And Septuagint just means 70. The tradition says that it's 70 scholars of that time frame, Hebrew scholars who also knew Greek, spent quite a while translating Hebrew into the Greek, because the Greek was a more common language of that era. It's also a more accurate language, which made it even easier to be specific about. Something I've always liked about it, what I hear commentators talk about. So, back to the reading, 1711. This is a famous verse I always enjoyed, mainly because it really tells us how we should be approaching how we do things. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Paul noted that the people, actually Luke is reading, wrote Acts, but Luke through the learning about his travels. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, the scriptures daily, whether those things be or so. I think that's something that we have to be very keen to these days, that when we it's just so important that anything we think that is necessary to know about how to handle ourselves in this day and age can be found in the Bible. It was foretold maybe thousands of years ago, but that's still true to this day. So it's so important to read the Bible and always take into account what the Bible says about a situation. Here in Berea, they make reference to the Berean Bible students, and I think it's because of this reference here that he mentions that they took it with all readiness of mind. In other words, they were open to what Paul was saying, and they verified it in the Bible. And this is an area that I think is take special note as we look at a couple other verses. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul goes on to say, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." And he's talking here about the people of Berea and how they received the word in all openness of mind. Knew that it was from God because they searched the scriptures daily. And like I said, what the scriptures were then was the Septuagint. And so they looked back at the writings of the Old Testament to see if those things matched up with what Paul was saying. And in Hebrews 3:13, we also see, "But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." I'm trying to remember why I put that in there. Oh, to keep us focused. Okay. In other words, that we keep in mind the word of God is important today as it was then, and that's why I put that in there. But I want to go on to some of the verses that probably, I won't read the entire passages, but some of the passages that kind of tell us about Jesus and his teachings in the past that these Berean students probably looked to, or that Paul showed them, was out of Isaiah, and the famous Isaiah 53. The whole chapter is pretty good when it comes to talking about Jesus and his coming in the future. Isaiah was written about 700 years before this time period, and so it was prophesied that Messiah would come. And make note of these verses between 5 and 12, how it really portrays exactly what Jesus did. You know, just read it. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." "He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." And if you reflect back to the whole time that through his trials and everything, this is reflecting back to this Isaiah 53. "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." Put on the cross for us, not for himself. "And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." This is referencing the fact that he was actually hung on the cross like a criminal, and he really didn't do anything wrong. Yet he pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteousness serving justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Again, that was where he was hung on the cross next to two thieves, or at least two people that committed crimes. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressions. And there's one other verse that, in Psalms 22, that we can reflect on. And the whole psalm is pretty good when it comes to pointing to Jesus. But I'm just going to read a few verses out of the middle. It speaks to what we're talking about today. And that's Psalm 22:14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. Especially that verse right there points exactly to Jesus. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. You know, you heard the story of they actually stripped him naked, and the Roman soldiers actually casted lots to take it, so they didn't want to rip it in half. And then just a couple of more verses out of Zechariah. We've got Zechariah 12:10. And these are all Old Testament verses. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And then in Zechariah 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And you remember that foretold the when he came into Jerusalem just before his death. And I put those up because I really wanted to show that these are probably the verses that that the Berean students were told to look at to prove that Paul used to them that. The Messiah was foretold way back, and that he had come, and he was there to tell them he had come and done exactly what he had done. And so that's why the Berean students were welcome to hearing his word. And I just thought that important, because I brought those up too, because I've gone through teachings before where if you ever came across a Jewish person, they don't believe in the New Testament at all. So these verses can be used today. If you ever come into that situation and need to witness to a Jewish person, you can use these verses for the same reason, to show them that the Messiah of the New Testament was prophesied in the Old Testament. That's why I went through reading those. I thought it would be interesting to see. Often wondered myself, I've heard this before, but I came across those verses from a commentary and so it's interesting that a lot of the devout Jews I've heard in even today say that their particular Septuagint, they actually took Isaiah 53 out of the book. And I found it interesting that if you look into the research of the Dead Sea Scrolls, that they found a complete intact version scroll of Isaiah. The whole book of Isaiah, but Isaiah 53 is there. So it's kind of hard for the Jews of today to say, it doesn't doesn't exist. It's not there. And so on to verse 12. So this was all to lead up to this point. We're in Acts 17:12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So during this time, Paul was very convincing to turn many to Christ. And just like we saw in Thessalonica, he had a lot of success there also. But here we go again. The Jews found out from Thessalonica, just like we said Friday, they found out that they were doing the same thing in Berea. So, but when the Jews, and I'll read verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. So they couldn't leave it alone in Thessalonica, they had to come to Berea and start trouble too. And so at this point, I just wanted to reflect back to the that even back in Acts 9:25, where it was foretold, where he, I just wanted to reflect back that even all the way back to ministry, Acts 9 is back when he was first converted. We see that he seemed to be always having to run away from persecution. So in 9:25 is a it states, then the disciples took him by night and led him down by a wall in a basket. And he's getting ready to do the same thing again. And I just want to reflect Jesus himself. This is something that we all need to remember back in Matthew 10:22-23. This is a review. Jesus said that this was going to happen and to be ready for it. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And so this is Jesus, of course, talking during his ministry. But it's something that that even states what's going to happen. Because right now we're about 50, we're into 50 AD, so we're better than 20 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's still happening. And so, as we'll see here in verse 14, so back in Acts 17:14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. I guess for some reason the Jews were more insistent. Paul was the issue. And I guess Silas and Timothy, Paul wanted them to stay there. They weren't being persecuted at that time to help the brethren further learn and have somebody there. And Paul ended up heading off to, as we'll see tomorrow, now he's going to go to his next avenue, which would be Athens. And I just bring up a couple of pictures I found of Berea. See where Berea is. That's on this little map here. And right now, Paul in verse 14. And it's assumed that he's actually, that some brethren are actually helping him get to the coast. So you have to get to the coast there. And I don't think he, I know he didn't go back to Thessalonica, but he came to the coast, maybe at Dijon or somewhere along that coast and caught a mesh. He doesn't really say in the Bible where he went, but we know he went by boat. Oh, and this is a mosaic that is currently today in Berea. That is supposed to depict the mosaic that they found in the ruins of the churches there of Paul speaking to the Berean students. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Some artwork from Berea. And as a matter of fact, those steps you see Paul standing on, they recovered those from the ruins, and it's actually part of this memorial to Paul in Berea today. And then you see the mosaic on the back of it. There's our map again, and you see we're over here in Greece now. Might be hard to see it, I'm not sure you can see it, but it's up here towards the top of Berea. And he's going to head by ship all the way down to Aegean, down to Athens next. So we're back to the boat again. And so Paul and probably some disciples from, we're thinking that it doesn't really say, helped him get to the boat and got him passage down to his next stop, which will be Athens. And as we'll see tomorrow, we're going to find out that some interesting things happen in Athens. So we'll there. And I'll just say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and your word. And Lord, being tomorrow's election day. I want to keep in mind that I hope everyone out there votes, and they pray for us and seek your guidance as to how they should vote. It's a special thing. It's something that I'm sure that Paul and the apostles wish they could have had the ability to do, as we just saw. Paul kept having to leave cities because the people in charge really didn't like his teaching. And how good it is that we have the ability to be able to speak your word in this country without being persecuted, or at least being silenced and thrown into jail for it, at least yet. But we'll look forward to whatever your wishes are for this world, and we look to you for guidance when it comes to everything. And may everyone have a great day today, and we will talk again tomorrow. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. So, I will see everybody tomorrow, and we'll depart as we see Paul departing. And so I hope you'll have a great day, and talk to you tomorrow.